Hello and welcome to the You and Your Merit podcast. I'm Howard Hudson. Over the last 20 years, Cambodia has cut poverty rates by a third on the back of rapid economic development. Yet most of its people are still vulnerable to malnutrition, natural disasters and precarious employment. So in 2011, the Cambodian government launched a national social protection strategy for the poor and vulnerable. Our new study, co-authored by Dr. Francisca Gassman, is set to shape this strategy, based in large part on a micro-simulation model that estimates effects, benefits and returns. Working in partnership with UNICEF, we make the case for a range of instruments including cash transfers for children, social pensions and public works programmes. What's more, this research and methodology could be used in other developing countries. Here's what Dr. Gassman has to say about the new report.
I'm the co-author of a report on the rates of return of social protection investments in Cambodia, which we completed over the last year on behalf of UNICEF Cambodia and also the government of Cambodia. The study actually estimates the rates of return that can be generated by investing in different social protection instruments, mainly non-contributory cash transfers. Cambodia is a typical low-income country with a relatively high poverty rate, people vulnerable to natural disasters, still a rather high incidence of malnutrition, low quality of infrastructure, health, education, and other social services. Now, in 2011, the royal government of Cambodia launched their national social protection strategy. And in the aftermath of the strategy, it's also obviously the question, is this affordable? Is it feasible? What will eventually be the effect of these investments, let's say, if the strategy is going to be implemented? Now, the study, our study, provided evidence, empirical evidence, on the expected effects, the benefits, and what would be the long-run returns of such investments if we think of a basic package of social protection transfers. This is a very challenging task, or it was a very challenging task, and I still applaud UNICEF Cambodia and the government of Cambodia very much for starting this initiative and asking us to do this. It became a rather complicated study. It involves a lot of empirical modeling. So we start with micro-simulations. We estimate first the direct impacts of these social transfers. They have direct effects. They reduce poverty immediately. They reduce inequalities in the countries because a cash transfer just means that a household gets an additional income.
So what's the time scale of this? Are we looking at the next 5 to 10 years or beyond that?
No, the direct effects are, let's say, you give cash today and as an effect, the direct effect is, let's say, your living standard has improved by the amount, more or less, of the transfers you provide. But in our model, we try to estimate in the long run, over a period over 20 years, what does this actually mean? Because households will use this additional income, for example, hopefully to increase their human capital. Children will be sent to school, attend school longer, there will be a better food security situation, they will be able to purchase more nutritious food, they might have a better position on the labor market. So there are different direct and indirect effects which can occur on the basis of these social cash transfers. And using micro data from Cambodia itself, first we estimate, let's say, what are the links between household income and investments in education, in health, in the labor market. These coefficients or these findings then we use to enter into a dynamic micro-simulation model to see what it eventually means, how it would translate in increased productive capacity and economic growth. So that would be, so to speak, benefits from now on over a period of 20 years. Obviously, you also look at the costs. So how much would it cost to provide these kind of benefits? And the rates of return is then, let's say, the difference between the net benefits and the cost. And what we find next to these direct effects on the reduction of poverty, we estimate that, let's say, after 12 years, these investments would have been earned back by the government.
So in terms of the research and methodology that you're using, is it transferable to other developing countries?
Absolutely, and this is also something we would like to do because the quality of the estimations of the results partly depends on the available data. The microdata, macrodata, this is to some extent the limitations of what you can do. So obviously we would like to further develop and apply our model to other countries. either other developing countries, but also I could think of middle-income countries, countries with different contexts, but also countries, Cambodia, for example, does not have really a social protection scheme nationwide implemented at the moment. They are looking for it, and they would like, or they are thinking about going into this direction, but because there is no nationwide system, we have only very fragmented information about how much it would cost. And as such, it would be very interesting to apply this model or a similar model to other countries which do already have some basic social protection in place.
So which countries?
Thailand, for example, is very interesting to do that. But you can take, I would also be interesting, for example, to see in a transition country which comes from a very different background, which already have some rather elaborate, comparatively elaborate social protection schemes. But also countries in sub-Saharan Africa, which already have some schemes. It can be South Africa, it can be Namibia, it could be Mozambique. So there are a whole myriad of different countries. The idea behind that, why does UNICEF, let's say, Cambodia and the government, why were they asking for this? I mean, it is very common to do cost studies. Also, the ILO has done an ex-ante costing study for this national social protection strategy for Cambodia. But you also see, and there is plenty of evidence on the positive effects of social transfers on children, on education, health, and so on. However, so far, for some governments, these are not sufficient arguments to go ahead and invest government revenues in these kind of public policies.
So how do you persuade them?
That's exactly the point. Our thinking is, so if we can show that these kind of substantial investment from government revenues will pay itself back over time, we might have a more convincing argument. So eventually it is the Ministry of Finance you need to convince. And we think if we, let's think and talk more in a language that the Ministry of Finance would understand, so we look at it more or less as a business case of social protection, maybe we will find or we'll be able to provide an additional argument.
Francisca, thank you.
For more details and media, please go to www.merit.unu.edu.